This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Jesse Butler bought flowers. He took his girlfriend to the country club. He played pickleball with her family and even sat next to them at church on Sundays. Her parents thought he was a dream come true, polite, well-mannered, from a good family in Stillwater. And according to court documents, behind closed doors, he was strangling her until she lost consciousness while essaying her. A doctor later told her she was 30 seconds from dying. Police found video on his phone of him choking another victim. Allegedly threatened both girls, told them he'd hurt them if they said a word. This wasn't some stranger in a dark alley. This was the boyfriend, the guy everyone trusted, and that's exactly how it worked. So how does someone operate like this in plain sight? How does the charm coexist with the violence? What are the patterns that everyone missed? To break down this case that everyone is so enraged by, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, former head of the Bureau's Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, and an expert on this sort of stuff, on human behavior, deception. And we're going to talk today about how predators build trust before they weaponize it, because there's many more Jesse Butlers out there in the world that are showing up to people's doorsteps with flowers, playing pickleball with the family, going to church. And usually it's a good sign of a good kid, but again, not always. That's a mask, and it appeared to be certainly in this case. Robin, when you look at the documented behavior in this case, then you got the public charm, the private violence, the threats to maintain silence. What behavioral profile does that fit? Is this a pattern that's common out there?
Boy, multiple questions in there. Is it a pattern that's common?
Please say probably, no.
Yeah, I don't see it common, but it's recognizable is, I think, a better word to put for it. And that's because, you know, he was love bombing. He was hardcore love bombing, very much like cults get started. Not that he was forming a cult, but I think he would have loved a cult, right? Because he'd have a harem of people after him.
Oh, the future possibilities for Jesse.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Because it's exactly what he's doing. He's love bombing to put up this false facade. And we all grew up, at least hopefully most of us grew up, with that old saying that our parents gave us, if it seems a little too good to be true, it probably is.
Yep.
And he is one of those great cases of, so he's doing all these things to be kind, to bring flowers and all these things. So ask yourself this question. This is what I love doing when we're looking at human behavior. Does that fit a pattern of normal behavior of people in someone's life, or is it an outlier?
What happens if it is an outlier? What happens if you've got this wonderful person?
You know, any time in life, Stacey, that we get an outlier, good, bad, or indifferent, kind of like when the Nutter Walsh was going to his car with all the cleaning supplies from Home Depot. That's an outlier, right? Especially if you're not there in construction clothes, you're just an average Joe with a mop up looking like you're trying to hide a dead body or clean up after.
Yeah.
An outlier. And same thing here. So we have an outlier of behaviors that deviate from a standard. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong and nefarious going on. It could be exactly what it is. But since it is an outlier, what it really requires us to do is a deeper dive. Let's take a little bit look closer. Let's get some objectivity in here, and let's have conversations, good, healthy conversations with the people that are doing the closer interactions, like our kids, like the people at school, all these people. Because what we're now looking for is we're looking for things that are kind of deviating from that image, things that are deviating from a norm. And what we're also seeing from the records is that he was more isolating people. He was trying to remove them, trying to get them to all these little dribbles and drabs right there that healthy people that are doing the love bombing wouldn't do. So if you have incongruence in one hand with what you're seeing on the other hand, that's not just a red flag. That is generally fire, because there's something going on. And when I see that unhealthy incongruence, that's when I give a deep pause, and I have everyone in our lives and connect with him, take a step back and say, let's just take a closer look at this. And then, because no one wants to be confronted with the fact that they may have made a bad choice about who they're dating, who they're going out with, because then that invalidates our choices and second guessing all that. That's why you don't confront people saying, hey, I think he's bad, or hey, what's going on, or what are you doing behind closed doors, you know, because defense shields go up. You just ask a simple question. When you're with him, have you ever felt unsafe? Have you ever felt something was a little off? In other words, give them a lot of latitude with a nice open-ended question, because if you're with someone that has great intentions as they're portraying, then what you should have is a very congruent answer. Oh, yeah, everything's completely fine. I'm like, why? Why would you ask? You know, something very their tempo of delivery is the same. The content of what they're saying is congruent with what he's displaying on the other side. Because now if you get a pause and they have to think, if someone has to think when you ask a question about that, there's an issue.
Here's what I have issue with on all that is, okay, I completely agree. If you have a little more life reps, it'd be easier, I think, right, for a female to be able to answer that question honestly. And if you say, do you feel comfortable in the room with this person? If you go to a 16-year-old girl and ask them basically anything, I mean, it's because they don't have reps. They're basing. They are beginning to create that track of life, of experience, and especially, you know, some of these more adult type experiences. It's brand new to them. So I don't know what they would have said, but on that same but on that same point, he's also only 17 years old when this is going on. Mm-hmm. So,
which is profound that he's already doing this at 17.
So that's my question is, how does he know the love bombing? I mean, how does he know these tactics? I mean, it's like, I think a lot of people, when they're going through the action of love bombing and stuff, they're not sitting there going, I'm going to go love bomb the shit out of her or him. It's their operating standard. It's how they move. It's what they know. They don't know that what they're doing is some sort of manipulative tactic, because it's probably been employed on them 1,000 times. Yep. And they think this is how people operate.
Yep.
And then they start operating that way. And sometimes it's not till later in life, when you get older, when you realize, oh, this isn't how healthy people operate. And he's 17 doing this. Now, obviously, I'm not here to accuse anybody or say, well, you know, here's why he's doing this. But he learned it somewhere. I don't think this isn't just natural behavior. I mean, this predatory type style of, let me choke you out, don't tell anybody, or I'm going to hurt you or hurt your family or hurt myself, because that's apparently part of it. He even threatened to hurt himself, which I say, let them, in the words of Mel Brooks. But
Mel Robbins.
Mel Robbins. Yeah.
Slightly different.
Yeah. But thank you. But it's that whole sort of thing. Like, why, where and how did this guy at 17 already have this kind of tactic going on? I mean, that to me is shocking in itself.
And it's something I think we need to pay attention to and I'm not a parent, so I can't say as parents, but I think it's important for us to understand where our boys especially are learning these things, and to, as Robin always says, communicate, talk to them, get in touch with them, find out what they're learning and have a dialogue about it.
And what our young girls are finding as acceptable behavior.
Correct.
Or thinking is normal as well.
Exactly.
Robin?
Yeah, so 100% on all that. And yeah, would I expect a 16-year-old girl without life reps to be able to recognize these things? No, but I would be also then taking, because again, that'd be victim blaming on this, and hell no, not at all.
Oh, no.
You know, but what it comes down to is, then I'd be searching out data points from a lot of other people on this one. Because I do this all the time in my own life, you know, where someone is standing out from a norm, I start collecting a lot of data from a lot of different points. So I can start painting a picture, and the picture I'm trying to always create is, what would cause someone to do this? And so we're seeing a behavior here of love bombing. And I totally agree. This is not a strategy he had. So let's go back to him real quick. As you first asked, like, where does someone like this get created? How does it get created? It gets created in a household where he was coddled without repercussions his entire life. As you saw when he's being arrested at the door, his mother is completely in charge.
Yep.
Didn't react because she's got reps of constantly coddling him. And him not being accountable for any actions he's ever taken. Don't worry about it. I got this. So-and-so knows this. Just sit here and say nothing because mama's got it. Yeah. You know, like, so he's got life reps of never being accountable for any of his actions. So that's why doing anything is completely within his realm of possibility, because he's never gotten in trouble before. Why would this be any different? Mommy will come save me. And then you have cascade on top of that, because of that type of parenting style, again, I'm not saying it's malicious or not. It's just a style. He hasn't had control out of anything his entire life. His parents have been in control of what? In control of the image. This is a family of image because they're people of notoriety in the community, the football coach, you know, they're an image company. And so when the image starts failing, you know, they just have reps of protecting the image. And so he's used to that. So what has he never had? Control. And so this whole thing then goes back to what's he need to have? He wants to have control without repercussions. And so that's where we start going down that dark triad of abuse, of strangulation, of sexual assault, because he's trying to exercise control. And that kind of control then manifests in let's control you more by taking photos. So it's a combination of love bombing, which is kind of cultish, which and there's all the grooming behaviors in here as well. When you're grooming someone for sexual exploitation, all of it is present with him.
How much do you think the parents are to blame in this situation? And I don't mean, you know, let's point fingers, but they're so involved in this kid's family, in this kid's life on a day-to-day basis. Do they hold some responsibility here?
So every individual makes their own choices in life. Now, granted, between the ages of 9 and 24, before the prefrontal lobe is fully forming, you know, there's a lot of lack of emotional control and emotional regulation going on, but it's still their choice about what they're doing. And those choices are, unless there's biological and chemical imbalances going on in the brain, those choices are a lot of learned behaviors. And so he learned the behaviors of what he's doing because he's observing it from others in his life. Not that he's learning how to rape and abuse kids.
Yeah.
They are kids, but he's learning the lack of accountability for his actions from his parents, from the people in his environment. So, because that's what the root of this is. Because, you know, they did an interesting experiment years ago, and they do all these social experiments all the time. You know, a lot of people will do really important things. But the thing that keeps a lot of people in society, not all of us, but the thing that keeps a lot of society in line is the thought of being caught, the thought of someone watching you do something. So they had this experiment, I think they did it in France, where they actually left a wallet on a street corner and they had passerbys go by and it was simple. There was you could pick up the wallet and they want to see what people did, strangers would do with a wallet they found. And on one street corner, there was nothing there but a wallet on the ground. On another street corner, they actually just had a poster with eyes on it. On the street corner with a poster with eyes, much fewer people picked up the wallet without turning it in.
Wow.
Because if we think we're being observed, if we think there's accountability, it modifies our behavior. And so when in cases like this, granted, it's one data point. If you don't think you have accountability for your actions, you feel a lot more at liberty to do crazy things.
I got a caveat to this because this is a weird one in this case. He taped it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He taped it. It's not like he wouldn't like
trophy.
So yeah, trophy, but accountability, eyes on you. I mean, is that just the arrogance of thinking that no one's ever going to see this tape? That this is just completely, is that just him being a complete idiot?
Yeah.
Or I mean, because it's like that to me, it's like, if you're going to commit some sort of horrible crime, the last thing you want is it on tape. And this dipshit pulls out his phone and starts filming.
Yeah, he's the one doing it.
It's my phone. Mommy never looks at my phone. Seriously.
Transparency.
If you think it's someone else's eyes, he won't do it. But if it's his own eyes, it's my phone.
It's different.
Yeah. But again, that's true. That's why there's so many elements of a really abhorrent person in development in this case. I mean, we're seeing signs of the grooming. We're seeing signs of cult-like mentality with love bombing. Now we're seeing signs of trophy taking. What kind of people take trophies of doing bad things to girls? Serial killers. I mean, not that he's going down there, but there's a lot of really abhorrent behavior that is extremely incongruent. And then, and let's give him some counseling.
That'll work it out.
Yeah, that'll change.
Give him a couple Oreo cookies or something too. I'm sure that'll just make his day. It's a very bizarre byproduct because I see parents like this all the time that are basically, I think the way you described it the first time we talked about this case was the kid's like wrapped in bubble wrap, basically. Oh, yeah. Like mom's been there the whole time. I mean, you saw it when he was being arrested. We talked about it. You know, stay silent. You know, Rick knows about this. Candy's doing this. Dad's on the way. That old bullshit. this utter coddling, keeping them close to the nest. It's like, did she stop breastfeeding when he was 14? I'm just kidding.
Walked out the door right there. Look at him.
Yeah. But it makes you wonder, like, when you keep someone that close and you don't allow them their own autonomy, you're basically making a monster. Mm-hmm. And there's no boundaries and there's no accountability. Yes, it may look great for those Christmas cards until he's 18. And now look what your Christmas cards are. I mean, this is, it makes me wonder how much these parents were shocked by this behavior. And this is all just pure conjecture, but how much his parents were shocked by his behavior when mm-hmm. they found it out, when they were confronted with the video. Because it's not even just this girl saying this and that girl saying this, and there's a pattern, which is bad enough, but it's on tape, your own son's damn phone. So when you're confronted with that, were they truly shocked, I'm wondering? And I'm saying they might have been, because they thought their way of parenting was right. I don't think they went into this going, let's create Rosemary's Baby. Let's make the best, you know, this little monster and make him the best monster we can. That's not what they wanted. So, but because they were too tied up in the way they thought that they could control everything, this is the byproduct.
Yeah. So my guess is, again, my conjecture is that this was an escalation of them bailing him out of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the shock, I don't think it was shock. I think it was probably more in lines of, oh, shit, another one.
Yeah. What did he do now?
And then probably into, I guarantee you, the first impulse was victim blaming on their part, because he never does anything wrong. And he does things wrong, but, you know, they're always little things. So he's that boiling frog mm-hmm. in their mind. You know, so he keeps doing more and more things wrong, and yet they never notice how abhorrent these things that they're bailing him out of are and becoming, because they have reps of bailing him out from the age of 4 years old on mm-hmm. and then keeping him wrapped in. And I know parents that do this. I mean, you know, we're probably some semblance of those kind of parents that, you know, you want to protect your kids.
Yeah.
But when the difference is that when you want to protect your kids, but you don't have accountability for when you do something wrong, this is what happens. So parents can do exactly the same kind of parenting, but their kids turn out fine, although they're going to need some life reps of failure. But there's a big difference between protecting them when they do something wrong and allowing them to do something wrong and then correcting it in a healthy way. And you can still keep both in bubble wrap if you want. So mm-hmm. I'm not like shaming parents that bubble wrap their kids. It's just like bubble wrapping your kids and having no accountability for doing boo-boos.
Yeah.
Well, and that's
the abhorrent thing, obviously, but this was an escalation. Hands down, I think it was an escalation.
I've watched kids grow up where, you know, they've got a helicopter parent who doesn't want them to do anything wrong. Well, they don't learn anything. Let mm-hmm. them fall on their face. Be there when they do to support them and be there for them and guide them for the next moment. But you've got to let these kids make mistakes. They don't have to be huge mistakes.
Just not
let them live.
Got to get a rep.
If they're able to have smaller mistakes and just a cacophony of them before something like this, you don't get the nuclear bomb mistake.
Correct.
He did not go from having an innocent first date, getting a milkshake, to raping a girl and almost killing her like this.
Right.
No.
It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. And there was lead ups to this. I guarantee you there's going to be other girls or other situations that are going to come out that were maybe not to this extreme, but experienced some really deviant behavior from him, or that he tried or wanted to do with them, that wanted to experiment with them. And because there's always, you know, people like this get to his level, even at 17, get to his level of acumen of what he was doing with reps.
Yeah.
He learned how to love bomb. He knew how to push someone to be able to get photos without shaming or using them afterwards. This is a level of expertise he got to this level at 17 with reps.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be other people that can come forward if they're brave enough. And this, again, not shaming them. Hard things to come forward on. But I guarantee there's other people, because these are not the only girls or only situations where he was displaying behavior. And so going back to my original thing with leakage, basically, there's going to be a lot of leakage where someone is putting on this false front. I guarantee you there's people around him that if they hear someone saying, oh, my God, he's such a great guy, he's so kind, he brings flowers, I guarantee you there's people around him or people that are aware of him, they're going like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was
Robin, are they going to want to come forward after seeing how he just got off with community service? Like, why would any victim want to put themselves into this situation knowing that they're probably going to be shamed and nothing's going to happen? If this had happened to me, I probably would be like Homer Simpson going back into the bushes, like, I'm not putting myself into this situation.
Look, you're completely right. So when people have influence and that public persona in a community, you're very afraid of, you know, we can look at the examples we've had. We've got the Murdoch case, we've got Diddy, we got Epstein, you have all these other people that did all these abhorrent behaviors that people observed, yet were terrified to do anything against because there's such an influence in the community. And so in this case, you have a judge that's been there for 50 years in one capacity or the other. You have a father that's part of the university family. I mean, this is scary stuff when it comes to, remember, the greatest motivation we have as human beings, as a species, is fear. Fear is a great driver of our actions. And if you fear any way whatsoever, especially if it doesn't benefit you in some way, because remember, in order for us to take actions, we have to overcome the fear. And the benefit that we personally feel that we're going to get from the risk of that fear has to overpower that balance. It's a rough one.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.